at least it pointed that out, like, you know, like there's so much like trauma on the population from the government's responses to COVID-19 that is a detrimental effect on people's health that you have to control for.
Yeah. So, you know, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, is this captured agency. That's just my subjective feeling, but I think there's a lot of evidence for the fact that they really work for pharma. And you talk about five horrifying facts about the FDA vaccine approval process. Yeah. What are those?
Oh gosh, it's been a while since I reviewed my own document there. But you know, for one, you know, and I wrote that before the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, at a time when, you know, I used to have this kind of perception that the FDA like did its own like studies, that there was like this independent review of pharmaceutical products. Right. And that's not true. The FDA doesn't do its own studies. So that's one thing, is that they rely on the pharmaceutical industry's own studies, which of course they can kind of submit the data that they like and to just withhold the data that they don't like. And so that's kind of this bias in the vaccine approval process. So, you know, that's another thing, is that, you know, a lot of times they don't use placebos, you know, in clinical trials. They use active comparators. So, for example, an injection of aluminum rather than a saline placebo. And then so that conceals the true background rate of adverse events, so that it enables them to report that, you know, the rate of adverse events between the vaccine group and the supposed placebo control, you know, the placebo group, that then it's not actually a placebo, are similar. And so they can say, oh, look, it's safe. So there's lots of, you know, really foul play at work in this. Another aspect, you know, thing I wrote about in that paper that I have, that, you know, you can sign up for my newsletter and get that for free, download it, is not so much related to the approval process, but just to the, you know, the process of getting these vaccines to market, is the fact that the vaccine manufacturers have legal immunity against vaccine injury lawsuits since the 1986 law was enacted, granting them broad legal immunity. You know, so if the vaccine is recommended by the CDC for use in children, they get almost blanket liability protection. The only two conditions under which they could be sued would be fraud. So, for example, making claims in their product inserts, which are, they have to legally disclose, you know, the risks of the vaccine, the known risks in those documents. So if they could, you know, if they were to just come out and make claims in there that were false, or they didn't disclose things that they knew, you know, that they could be sued for that. Or if they make some kind of manufacturing error and they, you know, they put the wrong ingredient in or something like that. So very narrow, limited liability there. But generally, they just have protection against immunity. And this is relevant for today because, you know, one of the reasons that they have been pushing so hard, in my opinion, for getting these vaccines into the arms of children, is that if they can add the COVID-19 vaccines to the routine childhood schedule, they will have, the manufacturers will have legal immunity.
Yeah, they won't need that emergency use authorization forever.
Right.
Yeah. So another interesting aspect I think you've looked into is the fact that the CDC has been claiming that natural immunity to SARS-CoV-2 is inferior to that induced by